Okay, Megan, in the current part of season three that we're going through, there's a lot of buzz about the City of Light. It's an idea that's really catching on among the characters in the show. So I was wondering if you were allowed to go to a mind paradise where there was no pain, what would your personal paradise look like?
I'm pretty sure my personal paradise would look like a cross between Edinburgh and like Hobbit Town, whatever it's called. Like
the Shire.
Yes. And it's like everything is comfortable. It's always snowing all the time. Everything is just beautiful, but also like kind of dark and spooky, and like it's just always kind of cold outside, but like everywhere inside, like there's a fire and like just good food and good drinks and good company. Like that's my idea of utopia. What's your idea of utopia, Jenna?
So it's so telling about you, first of all, that it would always be snowing, and second of all, that it would be a little bit spooky. In contrast, I would definitely want my utopia. It would be like 75 degrees with a breeze all the time. I want shorts weather all the time, but not too hot. I would definitely want like the option to go swimming. And I feel like my favorite, like I really like big cities. So I feel like I would want both access to like, you know, exciting, like people being around and kind of, you know, crowded and like always stuff going on. But then I would also want like secluded nature, like the beach and like the mountains when I wanted to. So basically I would just want like no suburbs or small town in between, but just like the two extremes of like super urban when I wanted it and then super rural when I felt like taking a break.
Nice. Almost like half of that is like the opposite of my utopia.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which I mean, like, I feel like snowing all the time is also the opposite of yours. And I don't mean like spooky. I mean like spooky in the way that like Hogwarts is kind of spooky. It's
like, okay. Yeah. That's fair. I like it. No, I mean, if I had to like choose second choice, like just like a full recreation of Edinburgh would also work for me. So choice.
Yes.
Hello, and welcome to A Bit Much. My name is Jenna.
And I'm Megan. And on A Bit Much, we watch a few episodes of The 100, and we talk about it for your pleasure and enjoyment. And mostly our pleasure and enjoyment. But if you're listening, we hope you enjoy it as well.
Okay. Do we need to say anything else before we summarize?
I don't think so, man. I think we just get
We have truncated the start of our episode so much over the past few years.
We are pros.
Yeah, we're extremely efficient now. Okay, so I am going to start by summarizing Season 3, Episode 11, which is called Nevermore. Clark and Jasper bring Raven to the other members of the Resistance, and they all work together to get Allie out of Raven's brain. While retrieving a battery as part of that mission, Monty is ambushed by his mother and forced to kill her when she starts attacking Octavia and himself. They manage to destroy the chip in Raven's head, and she regains control over her body and mind. And Raven reveals that the Flame, which is the second AI, can destroy the first AI, Allie. Then in Season 3, Episode 12, which is called D, demons. Harper, Miller, and Brian are ambushed by a grounder when Clark and Bellamy and the rest of them, the rest of their friends, can't find them. They instead head to Arcadia to look for Lincoln's map to Luna. They are all ambushed and caught by the same grounder, who turns out to be Emerson, who is here for revenge on Clark. He tries to kill them all, but Clark sticks the flame into his head, which kills him very gruesomely. Meanwhile, Murphy runs into Amori in Polis, but it later becomes clear that she has been chipped, and together with Jaha, they turn Antari against Murphy, and then Antari also swallows a chip.
Very nice. Good job. Good summaries. So then episode 313, which is Join or Die. When Kane and Pike reach Polis, they discover that it has been overtaken by Allie's chipped followers, both Grounder and Sky Crew alike. Pike is imprisoned with Murphy and Indra, while Kane is forced to take the chip when Jaha threatens Abby's life. Clark and the gang travel to the coast, where they signal a group of Grounders who take them to an offshore oil rig where they find Luna. They ask her to accept the flame and become the next commander, but she refuses, saying she's sworn an oath to never kill again. We also see several flashbacks to the weeks leading up to the 100's journey to Earth, where Pike is charged with teaching them Earth skills.
Nice.
Those summaries are always so funny because I don't know, like, what you're going to include. And so sometimes I'm just like, I assume she'll talk about this. I'll just pick it up. But it's, like, kind of Luna came out of nowhere. But that's fine. I'm sure we'll talk about it.
Yeah. Full disclosure, the first episode that we're going to talk about, episode 11, I watched, like, almost a full 2 weeks ago. Because we had a number of scheduling changes and stuff. So I may not remember this one as well.
that's okay. I watched it like yesterday. I don't know, man. Not yesterday, 2 days ago. All of the days blur together now.
That's true. Yeah. Well, so this one it's one of those episodes where, like, we're just with one group of people the whole time. We don't get any other...
Yeah, that's helpful.
...stuff. Yeah. And it was also, like, is a group of people who are not all happy to be working together.
Very true. Lots of drama. Lots of interpersonal issues going on several different fronts.
Yeah. So, we have... Jasper and Clark have the unconscious Raven, which is how we ended our last episode, with them all driving away from Arcadia, where everyone was chipped. Everyone was City of Light folks. And they reunite with the rest of the Resistance. And then Clark says, I know where to get a wristband, which they're going to use the wristbands from, like, the very, very beginning of the show to try and get the chip out of Raven. So they head to Nyla's little trading post. And again, Nyla also does not want them here. None of these people want to be working together.
Yeah.
And then they need a battery to power the wristband, so Monty and Octavia go to get it.
Right, they go to the dropship. Yeah, so they, like, tie Raven up, and Nyla's like, what is going on? Because Raven's fighting them the whole time, like, because she's alley-controlled, and she's, like, trying to get away. She's trying to figure out where she is so that they can lead all the other chipped people.
Yes, well, to them. And, like, they at the end of the last episode, Jasper used some of that tranquilizer, which was just so handy and useful to knock her out. And then it's, like, don't they, like, bring her to the cave, and then she wakes up again, and then they trank her again, but they're like, that was the last tranquilizer. We don't have any more after this, so we gotta just, like, keep her, she can't know where we are now.
Yeah, basically, we can't just keep making her asleep because these MacGyver, like, or that, I guess that's not right. Whatever. These very convenient tranquilizers are now out conveniently. So now they have to tie her up and find a way to short out her little implant.
Right.
But Allie's a tricky one, and she basically, like, emotionally manipulates everyone. Mm-hmm. I think Clark's the first one to fuck up, right?
Yeah. Well, so first she's like, first she's not being subtle. She's just trying to fight, and she dislocates her shoulder to like be able to pull her, to be able to get her, like the rope on, tied to her wrists off. It was very gross.
Yeah, my note about that is yikes. Like, Jenna's gonna hate this. It's like just so graphic, so up close and personal in that whole, you can see the bone. It was nasty.
Yeah. Well, and that it's like, cause I feel like for me, the type of like gore and like body horror and stuff that I don't like is stuff that like could happen to me, you know? Cause it's like when when I see people who are like getting chopped up on a battlefield or something, I'm like, that's never gonna happen to me. I'm not concerned about like my arm being chopped off by an axe, but like dislocating your shoulder. But yeah, then after that, she turns to just trying to psychologically torture each individual person there.
Which she like does a very good job of.
Yeah.
Because basically she tells Clark, like, you know, you're trying to save all of us all the time, but like everywhere you go, people die. Like, we need to be protected from you.
Yeah.
And Clark like did not take it well, kind of freaks out. And she was like, we're going to fry you, Allie. Mm-hmm. And then Allie's like, fry. She like goes through the definitions, and she was like, they're going to try to, you know, they're going to do the EMP and they're going to try to get me out of here. And that must mean they went to the dropship. So then she sends Monty's mom.
Right.
To go get them. And yeah. It's very sad.
It's bad.
And it says so much about this show that I had completely forgotten that Monty killed his own mother. Like, that was something that totally went under my memory radar. Not a big enough tragedy to warrant a memory at all.
Wow, that's funny, because I definitely did remember it. Like, I definitely remember that that happened. But it wasn't until, like, the scene started when, like, they pull up in the rover to the dropship that I was like, oh, shit, like, that's what's going to happen. Like, this is when that happens. Mm. So Octavia and Monty go to get this electromagnet battery or something. I don't know. It doesn't matter. And they're kind of talking about Octavia is, like, saying that she wants to go off on her own again because that's who Octavia is. And he's like, no, you're one of us. You're one of the 100. Like, we should stick together, whatever. But then Monty's mom shows up and she pulls the classic Allie trick, which is at first to pretend that she's not chipped, that she is in fact afraid of Allie and everyone else. And she, you know, comes up and she's like, oh, thank God you're here. Like, I ran away. I was hiding in the woods from them, whatever. Like, now I found you. And Monty gets suspicious and he asks her, he's like, what was Dad's favorite color? And she doesn't remember. She's like, we don't have time to talk about that now. Like, let's go. And he's just like, it's not you. Like, you got chipped up. And so then she like attacks them and starts strangling Octavia, and Monty is just like begging, like, don't, you know, stop it, please let us go. And she won't. And so then he shoots his mom, and it's so sad.
It's very sad. Yeah, that did suck a whole lot. Ugh, yeah. And he's like, and so they, you know, they get what they need and they drive back to Nyla's trading post or whatever. And he's like, it wasn't her. Like, she was gone. You know, she was already chipped. She was gone for good. Like, he just keeps repeating that. Like, it wasn't her. It wasn't her. And Octavia's just like, sure, yeah. Because she feels awful because he pretty much chose her life over his mom's life, mm-hmm. which is very sad. But so they get back. Before they get back, Raven's doing her psychological warfare thing on Jasper and Bellamy at the same time, and like the points that she makes about Jasper though are like pretty on point, where it's like she was like, you know, so he like she you know, makes fun of him, but, you know, digs at him for being so sensitive about Maya's death. And it was like, you know, we've all lost people, like, and we're not breaking down, we're not drinking ourselves into a stupor, like, we're being productive and we're like helping people, like all of us survive, and you're just like whining about it. And I was like, listen, it's not nice, but it's also a very good point, like, that they all have lost people and that they aren't useless and mean to everyone. Like, you know, what makes Jasper's loss and like betrayal so much worse than everyone else's? I don't think it is.
I mean, you know, trauma affects different people differently, but
I mean, yes, to be fair. Yeah, I'm just saying, I don't admire the way that it's affected Jasper.
I mean, yeah, like, I also wish that Jasper were not the way that he is, but but yeah, and then, oh my god, so, like, she does that to Jasper to the point where I think Bellamy, like, sends him out of the room, right? Bellamy's mm-hmm. like, don't listen to her, like, just get out of here. And so then she, you know, turns to Bellamy and starts trying to, like, you know, get him all riled up. And she mentioned Gina, and I was like, oh, right, Gina, forgot about her.
When she also makes a good point where she was, like, you know, talking about how loyal he is to Clark, you know, like, her... the knight to her queen is like, you know, if only you had been that loyal to Gina. And I was like, damn. And I was like, that was like a self burn on the writers.
On the show, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just admitting that, like, yeah, Gina was nothing, obviously, compared to his relationship with Clark. Anyway, but then as part of that, she brings up the fact that he, you know, helped kill 300 soldiers who were sent there to save them. Mm-hmm. And Nyla overhears this, and her father was one of those people who was killed. So then Nyla runs in and is like, you know, what are you talking about? You did this. You murdered my father. And then that kind of, like, blows their cover so that Allie can figure out where they are now.
Right. So they have to work fast. Like, we got to get this thing out of her house, out of her head. Right. So,
well, and also, sorry, just before we get into that, I just wanted to say that, like, I have two different notes here. One about how, again, like, I think this is after, maybe even before, but, like, at some point, Clark talks to Jasper and, like, apologizes for her role in Maya's death. Like, says, like, I never wanted to hurt Maya. I just didn't know what else to do, whatever. And Jasper just, like, not forgiving at all. He's just like, you... No, forgiveness. And then later in the episode, Bellamy tries to apologize to Nyla, and that is also not received well, so.
Oh, also, yeah, when Jasper is talking to Clark, you know, about that, and she was like, I had to save everyone. And he says, I was going to save everyone.
Yeah.
And, like, that's just such a good line, because, like, if we go back to, like, season two, where, like, you know, Jasper and Monty kept being like, no, we wait for Clark, we wait for Bellamy, like, they're gonna come save us, like, we have total faith in them or whatever, and then, like, slowly they realize, okay, no, we have to save ourselves, like, we have to get ourselves out of this situation, and, like, they took matters into their own hands, and then, like, you know, and then they, you know, Bellamy came and he helped, but, like, they knew their way around, like, they were kind of, like, you know, leading Bellamy, and they had this plan, and they were gonna, like, take the mountain back and all of this, and then, like, Clark swoops in and kills everyone, like, at the last minute, like, we did all this work, we kept ourselves alive, and then, like, the one person that we trust, like, implicitly comes in and just blows it all up. Like, I understand why he's very bitter about it.
No, I mean, it was, like, just such a good example of the way that this show is so good of creating impossible situations where, like, you know, Clark, okay, like, yeah, like, independently, Jasper had this plan where he was like, I'm going to kill Cage, and he had a plan for how he was going to do that, and then he was like, and once I kill Cage, then, like, they'll stop killing, you know, the the Sky Crew people, and, like, we can, you know, we can work this out between us. Whereas, like, from Clark's perspective, she didn't know that Jasper had that plan. It just looked like Jasper had been captured and also was now going to be killed with all the rest of her friends. So, like, that still seemed like the only choice that she could make.
It's good stuff, man.
Yeah. So they are set up to fry Raven's chip. And as they are, like, starting to do this, Allie, like, looks at Raven, and she's like, "You know too much," and then starts making Raven try to bash her own head in against the wall, because she realizes that if Raven lives and is no longer under her control, then she can help stop the City of Light. So she tries to make her kill herself, which is very spooky. But luckily, they managed to set off the electromagnetic pulse, which at first it seems like it doesn't do anything. Or I guess it just seems like it, like, destroyed her. Like, she's not responding.
Yeah, she's just, like, breathing and alive, but, like, unconscious. Like, we just fried her brain, her entire brain.
Yeah.
But then, Clark... Oh, wait, yeah. And then Jasper's like, "I'm going to destroy
the flame."
The flame? I can't remember why he wanted to destroy the flame. Just pissed?
I think that's a great question.
Plot?
Plot, yeah. There might have been a justification for it in the moment of, like, he saw it as an extension of Allie.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
Yeah, but then Clark is like, "Don't kill it, it's Lexa."
Which is also very sad.
It's very sad, yes. And so he doesn't. And then Clark's like, "Wait a minute. Let me take the actual, like, chip part out of her brain." So she cuts open her neck, at Raven's neck, and all the gunk from the chip comes out. Yeah. But then Raven wakes up and she's okay again.
Which is good.
Which is good. But
we got it
makes Monty realize that his mom could have been saved and maybe wasn't as far gone as he was trying to convince himself.
Yep. And so now he has to deal with that.
Yeah.
It's all very sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they got a skedaddle because Allie's on her way.
We got a skedaddle. We get a little bit of a moment between Clark and Bellamy where they talk about how they've both done some pretty shitty things, which is, like, just most of their conversations.
Yeah. They, like, never have, like, a light conversation again. It's always just, like, we have to forgive ourselves for the terrible things that we've done.
Yeah. Yeah, so then they, decide to head out. Raven explains that the flame is the only thing that can stop Allie. And so that's why Allie wants to get her hands on it so bad. And Octavia decides to stay with them instead of running off on her own. And they head out.
That's the end of that episode, right?
Yeah, I think so. So this next episode is like... I mean, it's like they wanted to have one episode that was a horror movie.
Which I don't think was executed very well. It's not the genre. It's not the right genre that they were going for. Like, it was a little kitschy and also, like, almost no forward movement for the plot.
Not for them.
Right.
Yeah, stuff in Polis happens. But yeah, for them, well, okay, because for them, they're like, for the kids, they're trying to find Luna, because they know that Luna's the Nightblood, so on and so forth. So, like, that's, they're, like, trying to do that, but then they get sidetracked because more of them keep getting kidnapped by someone who's dressed as a grounder. Yeah, I mean, so, like, the episode opens with Harper, Miller, and Brian, who were still in the cave. They didn't go to Nyla's. And they're sitting around the campfire telling ghost stories. And
very
then,
dumb, not scary ghost stories.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, like classic trope of like they're telling ghost stories and then something happens and Harper's like, you can't fool me. I know you're just trying to scare me. But of course, it actually was someone kidnapping them. So that happens. And then the others can't find them. So they head to Arcadia.
Where they need something?
They need Lincoln's notebook because it has
a map. Oh, right, to get them to Luna.
Right. And on the drive there, though, they're taught, like, Clark is kind of explaining, like, okay, so there's Nightbloods and, like, they're the only ones that this thing can go in, whatever. And Raven is telling them about, like, everything that she knows about the AIs and stuff because of, like, her access to Allie's knowledge and everything. And she mentions that, like, in order to put the second AI, the Flame, into herself, Becca altered her genes somehow. And then Clark is like, and that made her blood black, right? And they're like, yeah. And then Clark is like, well, yeah, so it, like, somehow it became hereditary, and, like, now it's only, you know, there's more people who have the Nightblood, and they're the ones who can take the Flame. And this is just a super dumb, minor nitpicky thing to point out, but that was 100 years ago, right?
Right. So, like, how many people could actually
exactly, like, have. So if it was only Becca's descendants who have Nightblood, like, there wouldn't be very many of them. Unless she was just having a lot of kids, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
And, like, how they would be so spread out, like, among the clans, like,
mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like yeah. They easily could have said, like, oh, yeah, like, from radiation, for some reason, turns your blood black, yeah. Gives you the ability to do that. Like, like, so much about the show, they could just be like, oh, it was the radiation. Like, they could radiation. Just use that yeah. to explain things away. But instead, they chose something that didn't make sense.
Whatever. Maybe Becca, you know, infused other people with this gene thing in case she died and they had to do it, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, fill in the gaps. The writers leave. That's mm-hmm. fine.
So, yeah. So then they go to Arcadia. It's completely abandoned because everyone there got chipped and then left. And Jasper and Octavia go to look for the notebook and they find it. But then they get attacked by this quote-unquote grounder.
Right. And then I think it's Monty and Clark, right?
Right. So, like,
Oh, wait. Does he get Bellamy after?
No, he doesn't get Bellamy. So, okay. So then, like, that's what Jasper and Octavia were doing. Everyone else is hanging out in one room. And I don't think we've mentioned it yet, but Sinclair has been with them the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Sinclair's also there. I can't remember when he showed up.
I mean, he was with them. You know, he's been one of the rebels, like, the whole time. So he was with them in the cave.
Oh, right, right. He was, like, in the cave. Yeah.
So they're all, like, hanging out. And Raven, with the help of Clark and Sinclair, figures out that there's a verbal phrase that you can say to, like, activate the Flame. And right. So they figure out what it is, and when they say it, it, like, its little, like, feelers, its little antenna, like, pop out, and then start, like reaching out toward Raven's head. So they're like, ooh, it's, like, sensing her mind, but then Clark warns them, like, don't let it touch you, because if you're not a Nightblood, it will kill you. And then she and Monty start going somewhere. I don't remember where they were going.
Yeah, me neither. But the important part is that the hair is very creepy.
Yeah, like, it's like the lights are flickering uh-huh. as they're walking. Mm. And then they start hearing Creepy music.
Creepy music. And it's, you know, of course, it's a lullaby or whatever. It's always like a creepy kid song. We'll and they turn the corner down. And there's like this weird merry-go-round thing just going. And they like approach it and Clark turns it over and it says Aaron on the bottom. And then there's like this gas grenade that goes off, which is the red gas that they use in Mount Weather to try to, you know, knock out the 47 or however many were in there. And then a grounder attacks them and Clark pulls his mask off and reveals that it's Emerson. Dun, 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 the problem that won't go away.
Right? Like, I had the same exact moment again where I was like, oh my god, Emerson. Like, he's back. Yes.
It surprises me every time, too. Where I'm like, oh, fuck, this guy again? Always. Fuck it. Forget about it. And he pops up like a whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
He captures them.
Well, Clark gets away.
Right. He gets Monty. Clark gets away. And then she gets up with Bellamy and is like, hey, everyone's been kidnapped. They let Raven and Sinclair know. So Raven and Sinclair are in the hangar and they start to close down all the doors, try to protect themselves. But then once they get all the doors closed, then the lights go off like a horror movie. And there's some really bad night vision scenes where he's just like, Emerson's just like beating the crap out of Raven. And then she somehow gets into the rover because Sinclair, like, distracts him. And they're fighting. And then you hear Sinclair, like, yell. And then Rachel? Whoops. Raven turns on the headlights of the rover. And you can see that Sinclair has been stabbed right in the stomach and is bleeding everywhere. And it's not good. And Raven gets out of the rover. And he's yelling at her, like, they're not yelling because he's dying, but he's telling her the whole time, like, get back in the rover, stay in the rover. And it's so sad. And Raven is just there with him.
She, like, brings out a first aid kit and she's like, I'm going to help you. And he's like, stay in the rover.
And he's trying to protect her because he loves her. And it's just so sad. And then Sinclair dies.
So then Raven gets snatched.
She gets snatched and Sinclair dies.
And and then Bellamy and Clark make it to them and see that Sinclair is dead and Raven is gone.
Sigh.
This was also like another one where it wasn't until the scene started that I was like, oh, this is where Sinclair dies. Like, because I remembered that he did die, but it wasn't until like right before it was coming that I was like, oh, right, that's going to happen now. And it's very sad because Sinclair was just like, he's just a great guy. Like,
right? Nope. Totally unproblematic Sinclair.
Yeah, no complaints about Sinclair.
Which is rare in this show.
Yeah. I mean, we might be forgetting something, but who knows?
I mean, maybe. Who fucking knows?
So then Clark contacts Emerson over the radio and she's like, I'm the one you want, like, like, you want revenge on me for killing everyone in Mount Weather, get in line, but like, let's you know, I will trade myself for everyone, all my friends who you've captured.
And he's like, that's a stupid plan.
yes so Emerson's like, okay, like, come to the airlock with no weapons right now. And so then Clark is like, okay, Bellamy, like, here's the flame, take care of it, I'm gonna go sacrifice myself. And Bellamy is like, no. He says, you're out of your mind if you think I'm letting you do this alone. Which is very sweet. And then they go, you know, he's like, you just distract him and I'll shoot him. And
they're like, yeah, okay, that'll work.
They're like, yeah, he won't have thought of that.
Yeah.
So they go, and, you know, Clark, like, is holding her hands up, like, I surrender, let him go. And then Emerson immediately is like, tell Bellamy to come out of hiding. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And so then Emerson's like, okay, here, I'm gonna cut Octavia's throat. And Bellamy's like, wait, I'm right here, don't do it.
So he gets himself captured. He's yeah, an
just
airlock.
Willingly just walks on in there, like.
Yep. So now everyone's in the airlock, except for Emerson and Clark. And Emerson closes the airlock, and Clark starts to realize what is happening. And he, you know, he closes the airlock, he bangs her up against the door, and, like, hits a button that all the oxygen is going to be, like, sucked out of the room. He's like, I'm going to make you watch them die because you killed everyone that I love and knew, and so, which is fair.
Yes, true.
Yeah, and he's like, plead with me, like, you know, beg me to let them live, and she does, and it's very sad. And then she hits him in the face and tries to, you know, hit the button to re-oxygenate the, you know, to stop them from suffocating. And they, like, fight, scrabble a little bit. And then he, like, has her in a headlock, and he's making her watch them die. And he's like, do you have any last words for your friends? And then she says the code word for the flame, and she's like, sticks it in his neck, and it burrows into the back of his head, and then he, like, pretty much just, like, implodes from the inside. It's very gross.
Yeah, and then there's just, like, blood and, like brain fluid, like, leaking out of all of his, like, his eyes and mouth and nose.
Face holes.
Very gross.
But then Clark, you know, gets to the airlock and sets them free, and everyone's fine.
Except Sinclair.
Except Sinclair was dead. Yikes.
Yeah. So then they, Bellamy goes and retrieves Lincoln's body. And Octavia sees Lincoln's body and breaks down about it. But then they burn Lincoln and Sinclair's bodies, like, on a pyre, the way that, grounders,
burial rites or whatever.
Yeah. They're a funereal tradition. Yeah.
Which, like, I know, very, very nitpicky, but also it would take a long time to build that pyre.
Right? Yeah. The fact that they were, like, had the time to cut down all that wood and construct the pyre. Anyway, you know, they'll let it slide.
And then they're like, and Octavia's just like, it's time to go. Gotta go find Luna.
Right. So then, because this group of people was getting too big, they make the decision to have some of them stay behind at the Ark. Because Raven and Monty are like, oh, Allie's code is in the Ark mainframe now, so we can, like, look at that and try to take her down that way or whatever. So they're all going to stay behind. And then when everyone is, like, saying goodbye, well, so first of all, so, like, Clark and Bellamy and Octavia are all, like, definitely going to find Luna. And then Bellamy or Clark, one of them says to Jasper, like, are you coming? Like, it's, you know, it's going to be hard. It's going to be dangerous. And Jasper's just like, you know me well, I'm in. And that was, like, the first moment of, like, excitement or interest that I have seen from Jasper in a long time. Like, it was, like, it was, like, it felt like hope, which is sad. But then they're all, like, saying goodbye to each other, and Jasper, like, goes to hug Monty goodbye, and Monty just, like, turns away from him.
Which I hate so much.
I know. So, yeah, then they split up.
Yeah, and then, so I guess we tune into Polis now.
Yeah. So Murphy is walking through Polis with Antari, and he runs into Amori, who is at a street stand. And I love this exchange where he goes, what are you doing? And she says, cooking rats.
What does it look like I'm doing in this post-apocalyptic landscape? Yeah, but anyway, they talk, and she was like, she's impressed by, you know, Antari. She was like, that's a hell of a mark. Like, I want in. So he was like, okay, meet me by, like, this door at this time. Like, we'll figure it out. And so she meets him at that door at that time. And he takes her into, like, the temple place, basically. Where she, like, has all these, like, it's funny because I had forgotten that she was chipped. I forgot a lot about this season. Yeah. But, like, it was just kind of a cool moment because I was like, that's the first time that we've seen, like, kind of a normal level grounder in that kind of space and how, like, awestruck she was by, like, Becca's, you know, mural or whatever on the wall and, like, all of the Polaris stuff in there. But then it's also kind of like she was chipped. So it's like that wasn't really grounder awe. It was like, you know, City of Light awe. And so that takes away from it a little bit. Because I was like, oh, this is a cool moment. Like, we don't really, like, know that much about normal people, grounder religion. So, but, yeah. But then they have sex. And then another, like, a guard comes and is like, you know, Antari wants to see you, Murphy. And he's like, okay. So Murphy goes to see Antari, and they're just having, like, a normal, you know, come see the leader and tell them your problems and they'll solve them or whatever, which I don't know if that ever happened in real life. It seems like something that is, I don't know, it doesn't seem real to me, but.
I mean, you know, when that kind of thing happens in, like, Game of Thrones and stuff, I feel like that could have been a historical thing. Like, not for, it doesn't make, I feel like at the level of the commander, people would have to be vetted a little bit more, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it would have to be like, oh, you've already gone to your, like, clan, like, leader.
Yeah.
And this has, like, been, like, moved up the chain of command. But,
So, anyway, there's this mysterious hidden figure who takes his hood off, and it's Jaha. You're like, oh, Jaha, fucking, you're here now. And so he's like, he's basically like, I know, in front of all these people, he's like, I know how to make you a real commander. And she's like, everyone else!
Yeah. Oh, shit.
And so it's just her and Jaha and Murphy. And Jaha is like, you know, I know how to make you a real commander. I know that Murphy doesn't know how to make you a real commander. Murphy's like, how do you know all of this? And then Amori walks in and they're like, oh, damn, she's chipped. Yeah, I did forget about that. And Jaha is talking to Antari. He's like, you know, you can't trust this fool over here. But I have the key to knowledge and power, and it's right here, and all you need to do is swallow it. And she looks at it, and you're like, I mean, it's 100% obvious that she's going to do that because she's desperate. So, yeah. And they overtake Polis that easily.
Yes. Which is alarming.
Tis quite alarming. Speaking of alarming, next episode opens with Kane and Pike have finally made it to Polis. It's been like freaking... Oh, it's been a while.
What are the timelines on these different plots? Listen, because it seems like they should have been there already.
Yeah, but maybe they had a field trip or something. It took them a long time. Anyway, they get there, and Kane is immediately like, this is not good.
Right. Because they walk are in.
Walking down. No, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, they walk in, and immediately it's just like along the road, they're just crucified people. And Kane is like, we gotta get out of here. But, well, and also it's like, it's so frustrating because Pike is like, oh yeah, so civilized. And Kane, you can clearly, he's like, clearly see he's so fucking angry. He's like, it's not normally like this.
That is a very funny moment. But yeah, and they're like literally wading through like puddles of blood.
Yeah.
Like, it's not good. And they're greeted by Jaha, and Kane's like, what the
first, hold on, first they're greeted by Jackson stands up, and like Kane is clearly like, what the fuck is Jackson doing here?
And then Jaha comes, and Kane's like, oh, that's what's happening. You're all chipped. And then Antari gets there, she's like, release him, and she has, you know, her guards or whatever eat the chip, and they try to get Pike to take the chip, and he's like, no fucking way.
Yeah.
And so they take him away, and they try to get Kane to take the chip, and Kane just throws it away in a hissy fit. And, you know, he was like, you know, I'm not doing that. I'm not afraid. And, like, Jaha's like, you will be, or something like that. They take him away. And then later we see Pike has been imprisoned with other people, a bunch of randos, and then Murphy is also there, and Indra's there. Yeah. And Indra's like, you know, you left me alive on that battlefield. It's like, I'm not going to make that same mistake. Like, I'm going to kill you right now. She's been working at her bonds or whatever, and she can kind of get herself free from her chains, which include a very, very sharp spike. Yeah. And, you know, an unbelievably sharp spike. And she was like, you know, you killed 300 of my people. I'm going to kill you with 300 cuts. He's like, all right.
Yeah.
He's chained to a wall, so he doesn't really get much choice in the matter. And she just starts going to town.
Yeah.
Eventually, Murphy convinces... Well, let's save that for...
Okay. I mean, yeah, it's hard about this episode because we're, like, going into flashbacks every once in a while, which are, like, kind of informing... the rest of the scenes with Pike in them. But we can talk about... So Pike was taken to that prison, which is for people who won't take the key.
But aren't important enough to manipulate. But aren't very important,
yes. And then Kane is taken to, like, just a room in Poland, in the tower, and put in there. And then Abby is put in there, too. And again, classic move. She's like... Oh, thank God, Marcus, you're here. Like, whatever, pretending that she's not chipped. And she's, you know, she's like, have you seen Clark? Like, where is Clark? You know, trying to pretend that, like, she cares about her daughter. But in reality, you know, Allie wants to know where the flame is. So that's what she's like, you know. And Kane is like, honestly, like, no, I don't know where Clark is. Like, I thought she would be here. But Allie is saying to Abby, she's like, try harder to get information out of him. And so then she, like, again, just kind of, like, emotional appeal, like, I'm scared, I don't know where Clark is, I don't know what they're doing, whatever, and, like, hugs him, and then Allie's like, try harder. And so then Abby starts, like, kissing him, which, again, like, they've kissed once before, like, before they were being... like, separated for who knows how long, whatever. That was, like, this, you know, culmination, this emotional moment. And so she starts kissing him, and then, like, really, like pushing him on his back, like, really going into it. And then Kane, like, pushes away from her and looks at her like, what the hell? Like, this is not Abby.
Yeah. Like, we don't have time for this.
Yeah, and realizes. And it's like, yeah, like, okay, it's interesting when, like, people are... When people have taken the chip and, like, Allie has control over them if she wants it, it's like, I wonder, it's like, okay, how much of themselves are still there, you know? Because it's like, the real Abby would know that, like, that strategy wouldn't work on Kane, you know? So it's like, was this Allie saying, like, well, he's a man, just make out with him, and that'll probably work, you know? Or was this Abby being like, I guess I'll try that? Like, I don't know.
I don't know either, because, like, right? Because with all of Raven's manipulation, like, it's so specific. Like, it's Raven's knowledge of what has happened, and, like, she knows how to push the button because she's their friend, and, like, she knows what bothers them. So, like, so that was a very intelligent way to do it, and then this is just, like, a blunt force, like, make out. I don't know why. Yeah, I can't really explain why that choice was made.
Yeah. So then Kane figures it out and still won't take the chip. So then they're like, okay, we'll crucify you.
And they do. They do it. They give him one last chance to take it. And he says no. And they do the damn thing. They nail him up there. And he's there for God knows how long before Jaha comes back. He's like, you ready to take a chip now? And Kate's like, nah, son. And then Jaha's like, okay, what if I point a gun at Abby's head? And he's like, okay. I'll do it.
He does it. Found my weakness.
Yeah, that'll do it.
It is like, I'm just, like, okay, so the name of this episode was Join or Die, right? And that is very much like, that's what's going on. And,
yeah,
like, I don't fully, okay, because, like, if Allie, I'm trying to understand where Allie is coming from, and, like, whether she has just gone like full evil or if there's still, if she can still justify her actions. Because she believes that bringing humans to the City of Light is like the best option for them, right? So wanting to have as many people in the City of Light as possible makes sense to me. Like, I can still see her kind of ethical justification of that. And then the fact that the flame can stop them, it makes sense to me then that she would go to, like, great lengths to find and destroy the flame. So, like, that might involve, like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna, like, make Raven kill herself, or I'm going to, you know, like, be willing to torture and kill Cain because he might have information that leads to us finding them. Like, even that, I can still see a justification of, like, well, it's still worth it. Again, once they take the chip, they can't die. Their consciousness is in the City of Light, so, like, they're not really dying. And it is a means to an end that I could see her justifying. But what I don't get is, like, the random crucified people in Polis. Because, like, those people, like, were they really that much of a threat to you that you were like, oh, it's worth it to kill them so that they don't stop me from putting more people in the City of Light? Like, I feel like that is beyond what can sort of maybe be justified.
I mean, I can see that, but I can also see a world where she's under a lot of pressure. Like, she's running out of time, basically, uh-huh. right? Like, she needs to become as powerful as possible to stop Clark. And, like, you know, possibly if, you know, the second AI gets a new host, like, powerful enough to stop them. Like, I can see where she might have to, like, ramp up her stuff for that possibility. And then also, like, she's now, this is the first episode we see her join with, like, Grounders. And I can see the argument where, like, she would take on and understand their culture, which is a lot harsher than, like, the Arcadians. Like, and, you know, I mean, they did float people. So, like, maybe just a little bit more brutal than the Arcadians. And so, like, she would assimilate to that and kind of use tactics that they would use under similar circumstances, which I do think would be as brutal as this, you know, especially if Antari is ruling them, you know? So I could see that justification for it.
Okay, that is maybe a good explanation for her actions.
And if you think about it, like, if the Grounders get, you know, wind of what's going on, they have enough force to, like, come in and just totally destroy everyone that's chipped. So, like, she has to have a show of, like, immense force to stop that from happening.
Yeah, that's a good point. You want to go back to Murphy?
Yeah, let's talk about, I mean, maybe we should just go to flashbacks.
Okay, yeah. So we see flashbacks to shortly before the 100 are sent down to the ground, as Megan said, where the council, Abby Kane and Jaha, are asking Pike, who was a teacher, to teach wilderness survival skills to the 100. And he's like, why? And they're like, because we're going to send them to the ground, but you can't tell them that.
which obviously doesn't turn out well, because they're a bunch of punks, right? They're a bunch of criminal punks, and they don't care. They've already been through this class, first of all, as children. Like, they already know all of this. And they don't understand the stakes, right?
Yeah.
Like, but also, like, how do they not, like, what did they think was going on? Like, why did they think that they were being put through this class again? Like, nobody even questions it.
Yeah, maybe they were told, like, you're going to go through all of school again. And we're just starting the first
until you're a better person.
Yeah, I mean, like, but it was, I mean, like, I loved seeing the flashbacks and seeing them as shitty criminals again, like, with
yeah,
like, it was
like,
so
babies.
Yeah, it's just like a time of innocence, you know, when like Jasper was still making jokes about getting high. Like,
yeah, and he had his goggles.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
yeah. And like, Octavia was all shy and didn't know how to interact with people because she literally only knew two people her whole life.
So he's like trying to teach them Earth skills, and they don't really care. And one of the things that he says is, the key to survival is to keep fighting at all costs. Like, the moment that you give up, you're dead. Which, you know, explains a lot about Pike as a person.
Yeah. And so, yeah, but he's, like, getting increasingly frustrated because they don't know the stakes and they're a bunch of punks, and so they don't want to listen. And they just, yeah, they have all these snarky comments, especially Murphy. Like, he, you know, is whispering to a person next to him, and Pike is like, am I boring you? And Murphy goes, I'll survive. And it's so snarky and good. But then he's like, you know, talking to Jaha, like, please let me tell them. Mm-hmm. Like, I have one more class to get this in their heads that they need to learn this stuff because they're going to the ground. Like, please let me tell them. Like, your son is now going to the ground. Mm-hmm. Like, let me help them. And he was like, you know, you can't do that. Like, you're just going to have to find some way to get through to them. And so... Well, I still don't totally understand. Maybe Pike was just under a lot of emotional pressure, and, you know, obviously he doesn't handle that well. So, like, he goes into the class, and, you know, Murphy's being a punk as usual, and he was like, do you want to help me with today's class? And Murphy, like, you know, stands up, like, yeah, whatever. And Pike slaps him across the face. And it was just kind of like, oh, shit, like, what is going on? And then Murphy doesn't do anything. And so Pike slaps him across the face again. And Murphy's like, okay, like, I get it, fine, whatever. And he sits down.
He says, like, you're trying to, like, I get it, you're trying to make me fight. Like, you're trying to get me to fight back. That's your lesson, whatever. And Pike's like, yeah. No, it's not.
No. And so he I think he punches him in the face after that. And he was like, he mocks him about, like, why he's in jail. Because, you know, his dad stole medicine to keep him alive. And then his mom, like, drank herself to death. And, you know, he was like, and what do you do with, like, this second chance that your dad died for? Like, you set fire to the arresting officer's quarters. And, like, that's what landed you in jail or whatever. And, like, so very harsh stuff. Yeah. And then, like, does Murphy try to punch him after that? I can't remember.
I mean, like, I don't remember exactly. But, yeah, I mean, like, it then Pike, whether or not Murphy makes a move, Pike then just engages in, like, a full-on fist fight, like, tossing Murphy against, like, walls and over tables. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, and Murphy is, like, fighting back, but not doing that well.
Yeah, because he's like a scrawny kid.
Yeah.
And Pike is like this, like a fucking, you know, burly man. Yeah,
like football player. Like,
yeah. And it's like, and all the kids are like, what the fuck? Like, stop. Like, what are you doing? And they're like trying to pull him off of Murphy. And finally, Miller, I think, grabs like a pole and hits Pike over the head with it. And, you know, the Kane and guards are trying to, like, get inside, and it's like, override the locks that Pike put on the door, and they finally get inside, and they're like, what the hell is going on? Like, everyone just calm down. And they're like, are you okay, Pike? And he was like, yeah, I'm fine, and whatever. And he was like, and Kane's like, what is this? What's going on? He was like, this is graduation.
Yeah.
And then he walks out, and I still understand what he was trying to do. Well,
so
but...
because while they're fighting, like, so when he first, like, slaps Murphy, everyone is kind of like, what the fuck? But, like, they're not going to speak out. They're not going to say anything. And then it gets to a point when they're actually fighting where, you know, like, Jasper and Harper are like, stop, like, leave him alone. Like, everyone's kind of shouting, like, you know, leave Murphy alone. And then, like, some people, again, try to pull Pike off. And... you know, Pike has this comment where he says, it's going to take more than the people from your station to save you. So, like, I think his goal, essentially, was to force all of these kids to work together and to take each other's survival, like, as a collective into their own hands.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. And he's like, you know, you have to understand that this is life or death.
Right.
Like, when he starts to strangle Murphy, he's like, this is life or death.
So, I mean, I think that was the lesson to, like... have that urgency and to make them work together. Which, I mean, when they got to the ground, they almost immediately fell into infighting until the grounders attacked them. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, kind of valid. yeah. But so we get the whole flashback, and then,
So we get that, and then, like, meanwhile, present-day Pike is in jail with Murphy and Indra.
Yes, and Indra's cutting him up, cutting him into pieces. And Murphy finally speaks up. He was like, you know, he's strong. Like, we'll need him to fight back against the people who are imprisoning us. Like, it's stupid to kill him. He's an asset. He can help us survive or whatever. And, like, he says these things long enough that, like, another rounder is like, Indra, like, stop. Like, listen to him. Like, he's right. And Indra's like, fine. Like, you know, we'll get out of here and then I'll kill you.
Yeah, no, I love it. Because Murphy's like, would you rather, like, get your revenge or save your people? And Indra goes, both. Like, but I'll save the revenge part for later.
Yes. And then Pike kind of looks at Murphy, like, knowingly. And Murphy says, go float yourself. Everything I learned on the ground.
Yeah.
And then he sits back down. And it's like, it's such a good moment.
It is, yeah. No, I mean, because it's like, I'm not saving your life because I like you. Like, I'm saving your life because you're an asset and, like, you don't get to be proud of me.
Yeah, exactly. That's such a good John Murphy thing. Like, you don't get to be proud of me. I didn't do this for you. Yeah, so it's very good. And then we get this wonderful, like, last bit of flashback where, like, all of the kids are walking to the dropship. And, like, a slow, like, sad yes. cover of Radioactive yes. is playing. And that callback is so good. Like, goosebumps. Actual goosebumps. Like, so good as they're all just, like, most of them walking to their death. And, like, it's just, it's so good.
Yeah. Slow, sad reprise of Radioactive mm-hmm. was incredible. And also, like, as part of that, we got to see Kane and Abby in the past, you know, like, as they were mm-hmm. council members and adversaries. And then we get that as contrast to now when Jaha's like, I'm gonna shoot Abby if you don't swallow this chip. And Kane is like, okay, I'll do it now because I love her.
Oh, yeah. So much of that is, like, it's just so crazy how pretty much almost every, like, named character in those flashback scenes are, like, is just such contrast yeah. to who they are now. Yeah. Which is just really good. And you get to see Bellamy, like, shoulder his mm-hmm. way, like, onto the dropship, mm-hmm. super not subtly at all. And that's also good. And you see, you know, Abby second-guessing, like, when she actually has to put Clark in the dropship, she's like, what are we doing? Yeah. And they go off to the ground, they're shot off into space and towards the earth. And you know what happens next, all this shit.
Okay, you want to talk about what the other kids are up to?
Sure, yeah, I mean, I don't think it'll take very long, but they go to the coast, they follow Lincoln's map to the coast. They're a little bit downfallen when they don't find a village. They just find, like, a weird circle of rocks. And they, you know, they're like, you know, well, they're not here. We'll go, like, up and down the coast tomorrow, you know, first light or whatever. So they make a fire. And Jasper, like, randomly throws some, like, evergreen in there. And it turns green. They're like, whoa. And then Octavia finds more of it in Lincoln's journal, and they realize it's a signal right. fire. So they are doing that. Bellamy and Clark have a very sad heart-to-heart.
Yeah, well, while they're, like, setting up the fire and stuff, I think Bellamy tries to, like, pick up Lincoln's journal or something, and Octavia's like, ooh, no, like, yeah. you don't get to touch that. And Bellamy goes, come on, oh, like, how long? And I'm sitting here like, has it been, like, less than a week since Lincoln died? Like, what do you mean, how right? long? Give her some time to fucking grieve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's very fair.
But then Bellamy kind of stalks off by himself, and Clark goes over to, like, you know, see if he's okay. And at first he's kind of, like, dismissive of her. He's like, oh, the, like, great peacemaker, like, you want to come fix things. And she's like, I just wanted to see if you were okay, like, you're my friend.
No.
But then he does, like, kind of open up. He says, like, I've lost Octavia, like, you know, I don't know what to do. And Clark says, again, like, give her some time. She'll forgive you eventually. But again, Lincoln died super recently. Like, wait.
Yeah.
And then she does, like, this, you know, the same thing that's, like, what all of their conversations are, where she's like, but are you going to forgive yourself? And then he's like, I was so angry at you for leaving, which... This is kind of the conversation that they had earlier in the season, but then during that conversation, Bellamy was actually just trying to trick her so he could handcuff her to that chair or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, now they actually have the conversation where he's like, I'm so angry at you for leaving. And, like...
He's like, I just don't want to feel that way anymore. And it's just so sad because you can tell he's just, like, so tired. And he doesn't, like, yeah, like, I feel like everyone's been there where it's like they're just mad, but, like, they don't want to be mad. Like, you're just too tired to be mad anymore.
Yeah. And he says, like, I don't remember exactly in the conversation with this one, but he says, forgiveness is hard for us. Like, yeah, we've both done so many shitty things and we're always trying to, you know, Clark. But then Clark says, she says, quote, but we need each other, Bellamy.
The fact that they're not together, I repeat, is a crime. It should be punishable by jail time. And they, like, they hug, and Bellamy does this thing where he, like, tucks his face, like, into her shoulder.
Like, big, like, close embrace. Like, they're so close. Yes. And, like, and they hug for so long, and they hug for so long, and so close that they don't even notice that they're being ambushed. By people coming out of the water.
So they're ambushed. They're all kind of captured, and they're brought back to the fire where Jasper and Octavia are. And Octavia's like, hey, no way, like, Lincoln sent us, which is, like, not strictly true. But she was like, Lincoln sent us, like, you have to trust us, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, okay, like, let them go. And then they bring out these, like, potions, you know, whatever. And they're like, what the fuck is this? And they're like, you know, if you want safe passage or whatever, you have to drink this. And Octavia's like, whatever, fuck it, you'll love.
And
she drinks it.
It's so perfectly done. Because Octavia is like, I trust Lincoln. We're doing this. Just, like, drinks it immediately. Once she has drunk it, Jasper's kind of like, yeah, YOLO, like, I guess we're in this now. So he drinks it. Then Octavia collapses.
And so Jasper, what is he? So he's like, oh no.
Yeah, Jasper's like, oh shit. And then, like, even after that has happened, and, like, the soldier who gave it to them, you know, says to Bellamy and Clark, like, if you don't take it, you're not coming with us. And so they, like, look at each other, and Clark is like, together.
Oh, so good.
So good. So then they also drink them. And they actually get to, like, lie down and not just, like, collapse.
Yeah, just collapse. And then they wake up, like, in a storage container. Yep. And they're like, what the fuck is going on? And the lid of it opens. And in walks a woman who they automatically know is Luna, and I don't know why. Maybe there were pictures of her in
yeah, Lincoln's there was room, earlier in the episode, there was a sketch of Luna in Lincoln's notebook.
Okay, so, yes, yeah, so they're like, Luna, like, thank God we found you. And, you know, they were like, we have the flame. You're the last Nightblood. We need you to take this and, like, save everyone. And she goes, like, I swore that I would never kill again after my conclave. And she was like, oh, that must mean, like, and she's like, where's Lincoln? They're like, Lincoln's dead. And she sees the flame, and she was like, that means Lexa is also dead. And they're like, yes. And she was like, great, cool, awesome. And so, yeah, so then Clark, like, explains, you know, we really need you. Like, you're the only one that can do this. Like, please, like, take your birthright. Like, just because you're a commander doesn't mean you have to kill people. Like, please, we need you. And Luna's just like, no. And walks away. And they walk out of the storage container and find that they're on this offshore, like, oil rig, which is just, like, such a cool setting. I love that.
No, I mean, there are times, like, this is a great example. The Lincoln Memorial was a great example where, like, the show really takes advantage of its setting and its universe, of the idea of like, yeah, okay, if like 95% of the population disappeared and like most of the world was like overtaken by nature, then like 100 years later, what would society look like? Where would people be in those ruins? Yeah. And like, this is such a cool idea.
So cool. Yeah, I think that's about it.
Yeah, so we end the episode with Luna, their plan to have Luna save them has failed, and now they're stuck on an oil rig in the middle of the ocean.
Classic 100. Yeah.
But, like, it is nice to see, it's just nice that Bellamy and Clark are making progress.
Yes, that is nice.
You know, most of this season has been deeply upsetting regarding their mm-hmm. relationship, so it's...
Yeah, finally Bellamy's coming back to the light.
Yeah, yeah. Like, even I feel like at the start, this was the first time when he admitted that, like, Lincoln's death was partially his fault, you know?
Yeah, he was like, she was like, you know, you have a lot of blood on your hands, but, like, Lincoln's isn't. And he was like, it kind of is. And she was like, okay, yeah, maybe it is.
Yeah, no, so I mean, like, it's, yeah, it's, yeah, it's not just, like, that he and Clark are talking, but also that it's like he is having some awareness of just how bad he fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on that note, thank you so much for listening to A Bit Much.
We'd like to thank Freememba and Meredith Stein for our lovely logo.
You can find us on the internet. Our Twitter is @abitmuchpodcast. Our email is abitmuchpodcast@gmail.com. And our website is abitmuchpodcast.blogspot.com. Thank you again so much. And in case you've forgotten in the past hour or so, my name is Jenna.
And my name is Megan.
And our finishing quote today comes from Monty, who just has some good advice, which is, following the creepy music is a bad idea.
Everyone knows that.